The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and criminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition. Well,
one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents. Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. Welcome. It is Friday, January 21st, 2011, and it's got to be 2 days before the NFC Championship and 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the next 60 minutes of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community, brought to you on iTunes and through our blog at stash.normal.org. And then stay tuned for our second hour live Toker Talk Radio right here at Normal Show Live, where we take your calls and your chats here in our chat room, and just we have a good time with it. And welcome to the weekend. We're going to have ourselves a good time on today's show. Helping us with that good time is our own Ganja John.
I'm always good for a good time.
Oh, yeah. And today's going to be an extra special good time. Tell them about your new gift.
Yeah,
new...
let's thank John Doe Radio and Silver Surfer for sending us a new Silver Surfer vaporizer.
Oh, you got to show your cams on. Give them a show.
It's beautiful.
It's show and tell time.
Yeah.
Silver Surfer. It's a whip-based vaporizer. And
it's awesome.
It works. It's effective.
Yeah.
And so thanks so much to John Doe Radio. Let's also welcome the third part of the fun here at Normal Show Live, our very own cannabis carrier in Grastoria, Oregon.
Well, it certainly doesn't feel like a Monday today, I'll tell you that much.
Not at all. Now, Carrie, did you get the inter-office memo that it was okay for employees of the show to wear their jerseys to work today?
I didn't, but I'm hopefully going to be wearing mine on Monday.
You got a Vinny Testaverde jersey, don't you?
I have a couple of Jets jerseys, actually, three or four. One with Vinny Testaverde and a couple with my name on them. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right, the Gallagher one. All right, well, we've got a great show for today. coming up, today is Rockin' Friday, so Herb Thrasher is going to join us at 20 after. He's got a song for us from the Royal Hangman that's going to take you right back to the British invasion. This is really cool stuff, so stay tuned for that. At half past, we speak with Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com, like we always do on the first and third Fridays of the month, and he's got a lot of celebrity news for us. And then Candace Hawes from OC Normal, that's Orange County, California. She'll be joining us to talk about a event that's taking place Saturday in Laguna Hills, a medical cannabis conference. But before we get to all that, we do our hemp headlines with Cannabis Carrie. What's in the news today?
Well, today we're going to go cover a subject that's really important to medical marijuana patients all over the country. A Washington State Supreme Court is hearing a case on employment drug testing. Also, if you're going to be traveling to hell this weekend, you might want to bring your snow chains. Idaho is introducing a medical marijuana law. But first up, we are doing an update on the Mexican drug war. We haven't done an update this year, and I think it's been over a month since we've talked about it. So we're going to bring it up today as well.
All right. All that's coming up on Normal Show Live today, the voice of the marijuana nation. Thanks for joining us here. We're going to have ourselves a great weekend. Go Pack, go. And we'll leave here with a little bit of my good friend Buddy doing the Packers dance.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
And now, a message from former President George W. Bush to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American substances, non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no. It's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high. And I start to fly. If I said some silly thing, then that's the reason why.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
The former president of Mexico, Vicente Fox, who was once a fierce opponent of Mexico's drug trade, has changed his stance on illicit substances now that he is out of office. Fox, the Mexican president from 2000 to 2006, said that the violent fallout that has occurred since the Mexican government has tried to crack down on traffickers has caused him to change his opinion on the topic. Fox is most vocal about the war on marijuana. He says that the control of production should be taken away from the criminals and given to the government. He says that putting the chain of production into the hands of producers and farmers and manufacturers that can process and distributors that can distribute it and shops that can sell it would remove the chain from the hands of criminals. He added that legalizing doesn't mean he believes that drug use is good, but ultimately the responsibility is with the citizens. He says that prohibition didn't work even in the Garden of Eden, that Adam ate the apples. This isn't the first time that Fox has come out in favor of legalizing all drugs, not just marijuana, but it seems that he has taken a more active role in speaking out against the drug violence that has erupted in his country in the last 6 years since he left office. He said that his stance changed after the very nature of the situation changed, and the extinction of illegal drugs has proved to be far too expensive for the people of Mexico. The official figures for 2010 were recently released, and drug violence killed 15,273 people in Mexico just in the year 2010. It makes it the deadliest year yet since current President Felipe Calderon launched a military crackdown on organized drug traffickers 4 years ago. 33,000 people have died in drug war violence since Calderon took office in 2006. Mexican drug traffickers make billions every year off of U.S. prohibition policies. The U.S. has pledged $1.4 billion in funds to assist the Mexican government to combat drug trafficking, but the efforts have failed to make a difference. An ominous sign that 2011 could even be worse. Three mayors were killed in the first 13 days of this year, along with over 100 others. Mexico's wealthiest city, Monterrey, has seen 60 killings this year so far. That city's income is double the national average and home to some of the U.S.'s biggest companies, such as GE, making the U.S. uneasy. The country has become so dangerous for officials, community lawmakers, local police, and even journalists that many Mexicans are now asking for asylum in the U.S. and other countries. But that's a long shot at best. The U.S. receives about 3,000 requests annually from Mexico each year, but only 252 cases were granted between 2005 and 2010. U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton will make a one-day visit to Mexico next week to discuss organized crime and strengthening the competitiveness of the two economies and modernizing the border between them. She's expected to arrive in Mexico on Monday.
You know what it takes to get an elected official to admit that the war on drugs is an utter failure? Their retirement. We've heard this from so many of the former elected officials, not just in Mexico, but other South American countries, Central American countries. They all come to the same conclusion. We hear it from people who were former police. We have them on, you know, every 2 weeks on our Leap speakers. We hear from all of these people who were cops. They were high-ranking police officials. They were prosecutors, government officials, all to a man saying how the war on drugs is a failure. But nobody seems to want to say it while they're still in office. Everybody's got to keep that secret. Everybody's got to keep the wheels turning and the system grinding through all of these people's lives over cannabis for the most part. Half of all drug arrests are for cannabis. This war on drugs could not exist in its current form today without the prohibition of cannabis. There's just not enough illegal drug users of other drugs to justify the expenditures. Everything that they spend on overtime, the proceeds they get from asset forfeiture just wouldn't be there without this war on cannabis users. And as far as that remark, I wrote this down about Vicente Fox saying, well, he's just because he's supporting legalization doesn't mean that he thinks that the use of drugs is a good thing. Well, look, ask a tobacco smoker these days if they think that the government is promoting tobacco use. If people are out there saying tobacco is a good thing to be using. No, it's reviled. It's socially, you're a pariah. You're standing. I see people outside of the taverns just too blocks away, standing outside in the freezing cold rain to be able to smoke their cigarettes. I can tell you, they do not think that government is sanctioning the use of tobacco. And yet, we keep it illegal. We give people that choice. We recognize no matter what we do, some people are going to choose to smoke cigarettes, and we do not lock them up for doing so. Yet, for this deadly and addictive drug, one of the most addictive drugs you can get is nicotine. 35% of the people who ever try tobacco end up with a dependence on it. For that drug that is addictive, that has been scientifically designed to keep you addicted, that has been marketed for years and years and years, that has a cultural cachet, we've managed to get the youth use of tobacco cut in half in the past decade. And yet we still want to go ahead with this 1920s thinking, this prohibitionary thinking when it comes to marijuana. Vicente Fox is right. Everyone who formerly had worked in these jobs and says the drug war is an utter failure is absolutely right. It's time that the elected officials currently in office start to come to that realization.
The Washington Supreme Court heard arguments on Tuesday from attorneys representing a Washington State medical marijuana patient who was fired from her job for failing a drug test back in 2006. Washington has recognized medical marijuana as a treatment for qualifying conditions since 1998. The woman in the case is referred to as Jane Roe in court documents and proceedings to protect her identity, was using medical cannabis to treat severe migraine headaches. She wasn't using the medical marijuana at work, only on her off time and only when she was sick. James Shore, an attorney who represents the firm that fired Jane Roe back in 2006, says that the medical marijuana law passed by Washington voters only provides a defense in court to patients who have a doctor's recommendation to use cannabis. It does not offer any protection to employees. He said that an employer could allow medical marijuana in the workplace if they wanted to, but they certainly don't have to. To highlight his point, he read to the justices a section of the Washington State medical marijuana law that says it doesn't accommodate medical marijuana users, quote, in any place of employment, unquote. Shore says that there is nothing ambiguous in the act when it comes to employment. Roe sued in 2007 after she was fired from Taltech's call center in Bremerton, Washington, but the case was thrown out in 2008, and that decision was upheld by another Tacoma Court of Appeals. But the woman kept fighting and appealed the lower court's decision to the Supreme Court, which accepted the case last year for review. The base of her case is that doctor-approved use of medical marijuana is like using any other pain-killing drugs, and how, if Jane Roe was using cannabis away from her place of employment and not working in a safety-sensitive job, she could be dismissed when state law gives her the legal right to do so. Justices seemed very engaged in the case, asking both attorneys many questions, according to The Sun. Newly elected Justice Charlie Wiggins asked the woman's attorney, Michael Subbett, how the medical marijuana law passed by voters extended to employment. Subbett responded that the law was very broad. Justice Tom Chambers pointed out to Teltech's lawyer that the woman only wanted to use marijuana at home, not while working. Their lawyer responded that any employee who has used marijuana and comes to work has it in their system and therefore in the workplace. He also said that the Washington legislature was working to clarify the state's medical marijuana law this session when it comes to employment issues, then asked the justices that if the voters had been clear on the topic, why would the lawmakers be seeking to clarify them? The justices are expected to review the case in the coming weeks and render a decision on the case in the next few months.
Well, this will be interesting. Of course, we've already here on the West Coast had two of the three West Coast medical marijuana states adjudicate this. In California, it was Ross v. Raging Wire, and in Oregon, it was Washburn v. Columbia Forest Products. And in both cases, the Supreme Court found that their language of their law, you know, that employers do not have to accommodate the medical use of marijuana, allowed them to be able to fire these employees. The Washington one's going to be interesting. First of all, there's something incorrect in what that man said. He said, does not allow marijuana users in the workplace. No, it doesn't allow marijuana use. Here's the actual Washington code. Nothing in this chapter requires any accommodation of any on-site medical use of marijuana in any place of employment, in any school bus or school grounds, youth center, correctional facility, public place, blah, 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 blah. So on-site medical use of marijuana in any place of employment. Now, further up, there is actually the definition of medical use of marijuana. Medical use of marijuana means the production, possession, or administration of marijuana as defined in RCW 6950-101 for the exclusive benefit of the patient. Now, the RC 69101, as it defines marijuana, defines it as all parts of the plant cannabis, whether growing or not, the seeds, the resins, every compound, manufacture, salt, derivative, mixture, preparation of the plant, seeds, or it resin, does not include mature stalks, fiber, oil cake, compound, manufacture, salt, derivative, preparation of mature stalks, file, orbit cake, or the sterilized seed of the plant, incapable of germination, which to my reading does not include the inactive metabolites of THC, does not include what they'd be detecting in a P-test, so it'll be very interesting to see how Washington State decides on this.
A medical marijuana bill has been introduced in Idaho. Republican Representative Tom Trail of Northern Idaho sponsored the Idaho Compassionate Use Medical Marijuana Act to establish a system for patients to legally obtain and use marijuana. You might remember Representative Trail from earlier legislation on hemp in the Gem State. Trail says that it is time for Idaho lawmakers to help reduce the suffering of seriously ill citizens and allow them to use medical marijuana that is recognized in 15 other states. Trail says that it would provide another option for medically challenged citizens and would provide protection for Idaho citizens as a whole. He says it all comes down to a state's rights issue. Should the use of medical marijuana be determined by the doctor-patient relationship or by Congress and law enforcement? The bill has been assigned to the House Judiciary Rules and Administration Committee, where Committee Chairman Rich Willis said he will poll members before deciding if the bill will get a public hearing. Trail said that doctors have told him that marijuana is less toxic, addictive, and expensive than either morphine or Oxycontin. If passed, patients would need a certificate from a doctor to get medical marijuana. Patients or their caregivers would also have to register with the state before they could obtain marijuana. Only treatment centers licensed by the state would be allowed to sell medical marijuana, and patients would be limited to 2 ounces in a 28-day period. I did not see any home cultivation addressed in the language of the bill, so if passed as is, medical marijuana would only be allowed to be obtained through treatment centers that would be allowed to possess, cultivate, plant, grow, harvest, process, display, manufacture, deliver, transfer, transport, distribute, supply, sell, or dispense medical marijuana. Trail announced his intention of sponsoring a medical marijuana bill back in April of last year at Moscow's annual Hemp Fest. The 75-year-old lawmaker says that he is not interested in fighting to legalize marijuana for other than medical use. The bill will likely be defeated in a fiercely conservative state, but the conversation that has been started is a building block for Idaho to consider expanding citizens' rights when it comes to cannabis.
Yeah, and you can get more information on this bill. We've interviewed Representative Tom Trail here on the show a couple years ago. Look back for Tom Trail in the search box for our stash blog at stash.normal.org. Tom Trail, just like you'd expect it to be spelled. You'll find our interview with him. Plus, you can get more information on the bill itself from Compassionate Idaho that you can look up on Google. Just put in Compassionate Idaho, as well as our newly formed Normal chapter, Normal Idaho. I encourage you all to get involved.
I think it's time to take a break for Idaho.
It's time to take a break for Idaho, and for this weekend, I'm going to have so much fun watching the Packers beat the Bears. This is my Wisconsin lay, by the way. Brats and cheese. Be right back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man, reefer man? If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs, or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
When I was in England, I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale, and never tried it again.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Mr. President.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday, our segment featuring the best rock, metal, punk, and jam band music brought to you by Herb Thrasher at herbthrasher.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. Oh, folks, I am looking forward to today's song because this one coming from Herb Thrasher just it makes me giggle. So, Herb, what's up?
What's going on, man? What's going on, guys? God to John, Cannabis Care. Hope you guys are doing well.
What up?
Before we get to some rock, you ready for some football? I see your dress ready.
I'm all good to go. I got the Thunder Stick ready. We're going to the refectory. We're the biggest Packers bar in Portland. It'll be a great time.
Well, I don't remember. I might have missed it, but who do you think you're going to be playing? Have you picked the winner for that yet?
Packers.
No, for the
no, I know that.
He's talking
who
about for the other game.
Playing?
Oh, well, I'm hoping it's the Jets so that Brett Favre has to watch the last two teams he played for playing each other in the Super Bowl.
So kissing up to Cannabis Carry today instead of Cannabis Bob. Okay, yeah. I understand that. That's a good move. That's a good move.
Yeah.
All right, well, you guys ready to rock? Let's get to some rock. So, Russ, you love her. Gondra John, you love her. I love her. Cannabis Carry loves her. That's Mary Jane. And so does the Royal Hangman, which are a five-piece garage band hailing from Zurich, Switzerland. Influenced by insane, mind-blowing 60s garage beat, these guys know how to shake your ears with fuzz-driven guitars, grinding box organ, stamping backbeat, wailing harp, and high-energy screaming vocals. These wildmen play vintage instruments with a sound reminiscent of the Sonics, 13th floor elevators, small faces, but with a style of energy all their own. The band's first release is a 7-inch single, Mary Jane, You Better Tell That Girl, is out now on the Greek label Lost in Time Records. Limited edition, only 500 copies, so you guys better act fast if you want this one. Mary Jane is all out of high-energy stomper that sounds like a cross, an energy of hypnotic beat that's sure to get stuck in your head. You Better Tell That Girl is reminiscent of the Nightcrawler's Basket of Flowers meets the Standells. Wow, that's a trip. And the Monkees. You know the Monkees are going to be in there.
And the Monkees, yeah.
So roll with Killer Anthem. That's right, man. Davy Jones in the house with a catchy 12-string melody and chorus that beckons you sing along. So that write-up was from Robert Keeley. I want to give him credit because he was listed there with Garage Guys. And you can find these guys on the internet, theroyalhangman.ch. So I guess the .com is different.
Yeah, CH for Switzerland. Show. Yeah, Switzerland's symbol
yeah,
of CH.
So keep that in mind if you guys want to check them out. They're also on MySpace. And I hope you guys really love it, man. Turn it up, man. Rock it out.
All
Have
right.
fun, guys.
Thanks, Herb. This is the Royal Hangman with Mary Jane.
Surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Hi, I'm Keith Straub, the founder of Normal. In all the years since 1970 that I've been fighting marijuana prohibition, I've learned that drug warriors love to confuse the public with statistics. Lately, they've claimed that there are more teens enrolled in drug treatment for marijuana than ever before. It's a statement that, while true, is intentionally misleading. What they don't tell you is that marijuana arrests have skyrocketed to over 800,000 arrests per year. They also don't tell you that we've gone from a few dozen drug courts in the 1990s to over 2,500 drug courts today. The kicker is that those drug courts sentence teens routinely to drug treatment for marijuana, whether they need drug treatment or not. So they arrest more people for pot, require them to enter drug treatment, then claim the higher treatment numbers justify more pot arrests. It's an absurd proposition, but no more absurd than banning a plant. Learn the facts about pot. Visit norml.org today.
By Barry McCaffrey, General Barry McCaffrey, I should say, retired general, military analyst at NBC, and most importantly for this conversation, former National Drug Policy Director, very familiar with this conversation.
Normal Show Live, where the truth about marijuana gets more than a minute to speak.
General, I'm going to begin with you.
Everybody's got a habit, some good, some bad, to reach the comfort zone. Some of the people have all kinds of people around. Some people can't hang alone. Whatever it is, whatever you like, you're gonna make it through your afternoon. Everybody's
Everyone move.
Marijuana culture is infused throughout America and the world. As we round out the week, we take a look at the 420 phenomenon in movies, TV, music, and sports with former High Times editor and author of Pot Culture, Steve Bloom, in our CelebStoner.com entertainment news. All right, welcome back, everyone. We're joined by Steve Bloom in telephone in New York City. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Hey, Russ, don't worry. Did you call me a High Times editor?
A former High Times editor.
Oh, I didn't hear that. I thought you said High Times.
Yeah, former High Times editor. Absolutely. Hey, I asked Carrie this as well earlier today. Did you get the memo about wearing the team jersey for today's show?
You know, you're breaking up, Russ. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I was just looking forward to the Super Bowl, and the Jets got a big game this weekend.
Hey, go green. You know how I feel.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, I know the Packers have a green and yellow, but, you know, we are... Hold on a second. Something is...
Technical difficulties on Steve end there.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm a huge Jet fan. I mean, I was, you know, a little kid when the Jets won the Super Bowl in 69. We've been waiting a long time. I feel like it's sort of our year the way it was the Saints year last year. You know, it's just, you know, sooner or later, you know, the odds are going to be in your favor that you're going to finally get back to the bowl.
Yeah.
You know, so I kind of feel like, you know, no, we're not overconfident, but we know we've sort of got past, you know, two big hurdles, you know, the Colts and the Patriots, and now we have to pass by the Steelers, who we beat a month ago in Pittsburgh. So it feels like, you know, we should be able to win this game, and it's going to be obviously a huge disappointment if we don't, but I kind of feel like it's the Jets' turn to go the ball. I'm not going to say we're going to win it all. You know, I'm not going to, you know, jump ahead too far, but I kind of feel like it's our turn.
Well, you know, we've covered Santonio Holmes before on this segment.
He's you know how much I love Santonio Holmes and what a job he's doing for the Jets. I mean, if the Steelers were really stupid letting him go. But that's just typical of what happens with players who have, you know, some problems, personal problems off the field, and they get dumped, you know, by the team. You know, sometimes they keep the player, sometimes they don't, and it really depends on the team and, you know, the way the team operates. You know, some teams don't quite care. Other teams really care a lot. You know, look at the Jets. They pick up Holmes. One of their other receivers, Braylon Edwards, had a DWI this year, and, you know, there was, you know, big clamor to, you know, suspend them and stuff, and the Jets set him down for a quarter. I mean, they just, you know, weren't going to go along with the party line just to, you know, suspend guys because, you know, the fan base says so, or whomever says so, or if the NFL says so, you can't do anything about it. But, you know, my argument about all this is, you know, these people, you know, who are arrested are, you know, not innocent until proven guilty. How can you suspend somebody before they are found guilty?
Absolutely.
You know, maybe Braylon Edwards wasn't, you know, above the limit, and, you know, there's something wrong with the breathalyzer. Maybe there was something that went down that day, you know, that'll come out in court, you know, so how dare they? And so the Jets are just a little bit less concerned about that, which is great. You know, it kind of fits my mentality.
Yeah. So we got Braylon Edwards, we got Santonio Holmes on the Jets. As far as the Steelers, Packers, or Bears, do we have any known tokers?
I was looking, I'm just forgetting now because I don't have it right in front of me. The Packers have a secondary guy who got arrested about 2 years ago for pot. Mm-hmm. I was going over the list of all the arrests that I've been sort of accumulating up at Celeb Stoner, you know, for NFL players, a list of so-called all NFL drug bust team. And there is a Packer player who's still on the Packers, but it was about 2 years ago. Also, the Jets have a third guy, Sean Ellis. He got arrested for marijuana 2 years ago as well. Right. So the Jets sort of have a trifecta. You know, they have Holmes, Edwards, although Edwards wasn't arrested for marijuana, and Ellis. So, you know, hey, they are the green team.
Oh, yeah. Now, in another football-related segue, we know Snoop Dogg. He coaches his kids' football leagues, and there was a story about him and Cameron Diaz that Kerry told us about yesterday. I figured you could fill us in a little bit more about that connection between the two.
Well, they went to the same high school, Long Beach Polytechnic, and I didn't really know that. I just we're not quite aware of, you know, who's gone to school where, but you know, Cameron Diaz is a year younger than Snoop Dogg, so she said, you know, she must have bought, you know, she just doesn't quite remember. She remembers a guy, a tall, skinny guy with ponytails and braids and stuff, and she says, I must have bought weed from him. I had to.
You know?
So just a funny line. I mean, she's already admitted before when she was younger, growing up, you know, kind of going to the beach and smoking joints along the way and that kind of stuff. But this was sort of the first time Cameron Diaz has sort of opened up a little bit about that. And, you know, it really has a lot to do with George Lopez. I mean, George Lopez is turning into the best interview on late night. I mean, that guy just sort of gets to the, you know, to the heart of, you know, people's stoner secrets. I mean, he had Seth Rogen on this week. You know, he never, never does an interview with somebody who has any kind of connection to marijuana and not ask them about pot. You know, I mean, I think probably people know already that George Lopez is good friends with Cheech and Chong, and, you know, as you know, once when the Lopez Tonight Show started, I mean, Cheech and Chong were among the first guests, and so I really, you know, I just think he's a very funny guy, but he's also really on our side, I think, more than anybody else on late night. Jimmy Fallon's pretty cool. He likes to do a pot joke all the time. Conan is very cool, likes to do pot jokes, but nobody, like, extends it like Lopez right now. He kind of goes into it. You know, not only in the interview with Cameron Diaz did he talk about, you know, get her sort of to talk about this thing with Snoop Dogg, but he also said, well, you're in the Green Hornet, and, you know, and Seth Rogen was here the other night, and, you know, hey, he's pretty green himself, and it's like, yeah, you know, she starts talking about how, you know, Seth Rogen kind of smells like a skunk wherever he goes, you know, and she was like, she did this little thing where, you know, she was sniffing, you know, when Rogen would show her around, smell something, you know, so whether she was smoking now, we don't know. I mean, a few years ago, another thing, the third thing with her, I mean, she's one of our top celeb stoners, and mostly because just people love her to begin with, but secondly, because a couple of years ago, she was photographed by paparazzi smoking a joint with Drew Barrymore on a beach in Hawaii.
Right.
And that's sort of one of the most popular photos of celeb stoner. And, you know, so, you know, she's just sort of like, I think as she's getting older, maybe she cares a little less about protecting her sort of, you know, kind of fairly clean reputation.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, on Wednesdays, we have Dr. Mitch Earlywine on the show, and somebody had asked Dr. Mitch if he had seen this National Geographic documentary, this Drugged, High on Marijuana, and he hadn't seen it yet. I saw that you got a review up, though, so tell folks about that doc.
Did you see it?
I haven't seen it. I don't have cable.
Okay. Well, yes, I did. You know, there's just sort of like a plethora of TV pot docs, as I like to call them. There seems to be about one every 2 months. You know,
yeah.
One of, you know, the networks like CNBC, National Geographic, PBS, MSNBC, the History Channel, you know, they just keep on going back to the same well, which is just a general discussion of marijuana with a focus general, usually on medical, usually spend some time in California, Colorado. This particular one is more like the science of marijuana and what does it do once it's in your system. And so, you know, that's going to get a lot of people kind of like, you know, debating, you know, what they were suggesting. They did kind of, towards the end, kind of harped a lot on addiction. They had one guy who basically, you know, was a marijuana addict, supposedly, who, you know, was able to sort of, you know, go get sober. And it was kind of like, kind of almost humorous to see this guy well up with tears and say, you know, that that he, you know, he couldn't stop and it ruined his relationships and none of the women he was with wanted to smoke. And he goes, and I wanted to smoke. So it was like more like it wasn't so much about he had a problem. He had a problem with the women who didn't want him smoking, not so much he had a problem personally. And they target this guy as the example of, you know, somebody who's a marijuana addict. It was really laughable. Who would they pick? And then they pick this woman for a subject in England for a test when she's smoking. And, you know, they interestingly made a big point in a different a distinction between THC and, you know, and CBD, and that marijuana that's high in THC but maybe sort of low in CBD is, you know, could lead to psychotic reactions versus CBD being much mellower. So they did a test with this woman who, you know, smoked the joint that supposedly was higher in THC, and then another one was higher in CBD, and the one with CBD, she was much mellower, and the one, you know, with the highest THC, she supposedly had kind of a psychotic reaction of having different realities going on in her brain at the same time, like some sort of psychotic reaction. Didn't look psychotic to me. She was just saying, hey, listen, it makes me think of my boyfriend. I feel like I'm with him now, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm in another little world. It kind of puts me there. It's like, that's a psychotic reaction?
Yeah.
I have no idea, but it was pretty absurd. Thank goodness Julie Holland was on the show, Dr. Julie Holland, right, author of the Pot Book, or the, you know, the editor of the Pot Book, and, you know, she was sort of a voice of reason. I mean, I think, you know, these documentaries just try to, you know, try to make everybody happy. They want to make the pot people happy with just the right people and who can say the right things, and then they're going to go over to the law enforcement, they're going to go over to the negative doctors, they're going to go over to the addiction specialists, and they're going to balance it out. So we generally don't get a point of view that's in our favor, although the last one, the Marijuana USA on CNBC with Trish Regan, I really do think was kind of on our side. I mean, Regan did several interviews to sort of indicate that she does lean in our side, although she has to ask those sort of like, you know, questions that are probably, you know, incumbent on her to, you know, bring in the negative. But I think, you know, her point of view is very much on our side. So he kind of runs through this one, you know, there was a narrator, but there was no host. So, you know, so, I mean, it's okay. I mean, but, you know, you could pick away at it for sure.
Yeah. Okay. I was just checking your latest top celeb stoners, and a big friend of the show, Henry Hemp, is your latest celeb stoner. How did that come about?
Well, you know, Henry Hemp was kind of petitioning to be nominated. And so I felt like, okay, you know, he's around at a lot of events. I see him everywhere. You know, oftentimes, you know, when we have the nominations usually or, you know, once a month or, you know, it depends how tight the competition is. If it's sort of a runaway, then it kind of – I sort of end the poll quickly and then move on to a new one. If it's a tight vote, then let it go for a while so it could go for more than a month. So – you know, in the past, I mean, you know, honestly, I mean, you know, Alan St. Pierre, you know, has been nominated. You haven't been nominated yet, but I could put you in for that. And, and you know, Alan, you know, I hate to say it, doesn't usually generate too many votes. And, you know, it's that the activists don't generally do that well,
right,
in the voting.
Right.
Every once in a while, somebody slips through, like an Ed Rosenthal, Mark Emery, the people who are really in the news, you know. And so Henry Hemp, you know, he's just been out and about, you know, at all these events, you know, promoting himself and his, you know, mission, you know, to legalize marijuana, you know, like all of us, but he's got his own sort of fun way of doing it, wearing the, you know, the marijuana leaf sort of crown, and he's very aggressive about being out there, being everywhere, especially on the West Coast. And,
oh, yeah.
And so once I saw Henry, I posted it, and I don't like to basically give anybody, like, an advantage by telling them, hey, you're up, so, you know, hey, you know, get all your friends to vote. I'd rather, you know, I want it to be as objective as possible.
Sure.
So I saw Henry up at the KushCon. He was already up for a couple of weeks, you know, on the poll, and I guess he didn't notice it. And so, you know, he said, so when am I going to be nominated for Celeb Stoner? And I said, well, you are right now. The next thing you know, Henry started blasting it on his page, on his website, and on Facebook. And next thing you know, he got tons of votes. So, hey, he did his own thing. He got in legitimately. And, you know, more power to Henry Hemp. So we have a new activist, top Celeb Stoner.
Oh, that's awesome. And to round things out, let's end up on music. What do we got to look forward to from new pot-friendly musicians out there?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, there's not too much. You know, I just got an email from the Royal Kush Band. Do you know anything about them?
Mm-mm, haven't heard of them.
I'm curious about them. They seem interesting. I haven't had the time to check into their music. Do you know anything about the Bloodshot Bandits?
That name sounds somewhat familiar, but
I've been hearing from them too. It sounds like, you know, they're cousins of the Cottonmouth Kings. Yeah. That'd be a great tour. The Bloodshot Pants of the Cottonmouth Kings.
Yeah, really.
But honestly, at the top of the charts right now, Cake's got a number one album. I've always loved Cake. They may not be the stoner band, but they were on Capricorn Records. The times when I made the Hempelation albums, and they were always super friendly. John McCrae. You know, I'm kind of proud of them. You know, having a number one album all these years later, and the number two album, the country's this band called Cage the Elephant out of Kentucky, who are a great band. So there's good music out there. But on the marijuana. So I mean, I said the Cottonmouth Kings have a new track out called Reefer Madness. Have you heard that one yet?
No, I haven't got that.
And that's sort of a one-off. It's not. Maybe it'll be on an upcoming album, because they always put out an album a year, sometime around 420. But they haven't announced it yet on their website, so I don't know. So maybe they're just advancing it. But they haven't really said this is from the new album. So it's just called Reefer Madness. It's another, very typical Cottonmouth Kings track, with them kind of, making their statements about the war on drugs and marijuana being illegal, but a little more direct because of the title. It's a fun video. So it's a video sort of single, so to speak. And that's up on the right now too, and of course there's the Kush song, that's the Dr. Dre song that's been out for a couple of months too, that's kind of big on the probably on the pop charts.
Steve, that Cottonmouth Kings song is actually on their last album, and their new album is coming out on 420, but it's a new mix of
that.
Is that
true? I didn't ever read for Madness being on that album.
Yeah, it's on the Long Live the Kings album.
Yeah, just a remix, I think, okay. A new mix of it.
Oh, okay. Well, it's interesting that they decided to put this out. I kind of forgot that that's where it came from, so I wasn't really sure.
Yeah, they'll have a new album out on 420 for sure. Well, all right. I'm sure we'll be up on top of it. Steve Bloom with CelebStoner.com, also the author of Reefer Movie Madness, the ultimate stoner film guy. Pick it up in fine bookstores everywhere, or find us out in one of the events. We'll be out there all summer. We'll see you later, Steve.
Yeah, by the way, take a look at the show Skins on MTV.
You've got an article up on that. Check that out at Celeb Stoner.
I just posted that. There's a whole storyline about one of the guys scoring a quarter pound of weed.
Oh.
It's going to continue because the weed sort of disappeared and they didn't pay for it up front, and now they're going to owe the scammy dealer. It's going to be an interesting storyline.
All right. Well,
it's kind of like a new generation Gossip Girl.
Okay. We'll follow up on that in a couple weeks with you.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
See
you,
Steve.
Talking to you
again.
Thanks a lot.
Bye, Russ.
Just say no.
No matter what you call it, it's a huge part of popular culture.
Where'd you learn that, Geek?
Drug school.
You don't need weed school. You just need a copy of the new book, Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life.
Hey, this is great, man.
Even if you never smoked marijuana.
I never used marijuana. Sorry.
Don't think you smoked marijuana.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two and didn't inhale.
Or you used to smoke marijuana.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Pot Culture by former High Times editor Steve Bloom and Shirley Halperin will answer every question you ever had about marijuana culture.
Has that marijuana made it back up here yet?
Check out Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life at Amazon.com or visit PotCultureBook.com today.
Too bad, man. I just stopped smoking yesterday.
Five of the last seven people to run for president and the last three winners have all smoked pot. Marijuana, the gateway drug to the White House. The effects of marijuana prohibition are felt by all Americans in every walk of life, regardless of race, creed, color, religion, social status, wealth, gender, sexual orientation, or even one's use or non-use of marijuana. As the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, Normal hears the stories of these average Americans and brings them to the attention of our policymakers and our fellow citizens in this segment we call Normal Newsmakers.
Welcome back, everyone. We're joined by Candace Hawes from Orange County Normal down there in beautiful sunny California. Candace, how you doing today?
I'm doing really great, and I'm excited to be on the show. Thank you, Russ.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you. You're one of my favorite activists down there in California. Been doing this for years and years and years, and putting forth some really great events. Last year, there was an event out there in Anaheim right across the street from Disneyland. I always laugh when I think about that. And tomorrow, you guys have a big event coming up, so I wanted to give you a chance to tell people about it.
Excellent. We're really excited about our event tomorrow. The title of it is the Medical Cannabis Conference, and we're holding it in a senior community. The senior community that we're holding it is in Laguna Woods. Laguna Woods had recently been in the news. It's a strictly senior community. There's about 18,000 people that live in this gated city. Oh. And just recently, the seniors have become interested in cannabis. They've formed two collectives that operate inside the city boundaries, and they also have a medical cannabis club among the hundreds of other clubs that they have. So that's why we picked this city, and we're flying down doctors and researchers and activists from all over to speak. One of the doctors that I'm most excited to hear from is Dr. Donald Abrams, who works at the University of San Francisco. He's a clinical professor there, and he also works at San Francisco General Hospital in their cancer ward. So he's going to be doing a presentation for us about cannabis and pain and palliative care. And then we have also a Dr. William Courtney from Mendocino that's going to teach the seniors about how cannabis works in their own body. And he's going to show them different methods of usage, how to make it into milk, into bang, how to make it into teas and extracts like that.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. And, you know, I love that this is happening at a senior community, something we're doing at the national level. We're working with Robert Platshorn, you know, the Black Tuna. He's a big friend of the show. He's putting up the senior tour and the Normal Senior Alliance because we believe that, you know, there's a whole demographic of baby boomers who are now coming into retirement age. And when it comes to growing old and having the aches and pains and arthritis and all the things that seniors have to deal with, to give them the opportunity to understand more about medical cannabis, I think is a wonderful thing. How did you come up with this idea to have this here, or did they come to you?
Well, actually, I just became friends with a couple of the senior residents that live inside the community, and we just started putting this together, and it's grown into what it has become. It's excellent. And, yeah, I think it's important to address the senior community because as I was getting ready for this event, I was doing research and stuff for the press releases. I found some interesting information from USA Today. 10,000 people, 10,000 baby boomers are becoming seniors every single day for the next 19 years. Mm. 10,000 people a day are turning 55 or older. So, I mean, that's a huge chunk of the population that we have to start reaching out to.
Yeah, absolutely. So as far as people, if they're listening and they want to get involved or attend this conference, do you have a website or contact information they need to know?
Yeah, the conference website is www.cbdconference.com. They can watch a really cool commercial we put together featuring all the speakers. And then also if people want to tune into the conference and they're not in California or they're not able to because they're sick, they can go to our website and they can actually watch the conference live for $4.20.
Oh, for $4.20. Okay, so $4.20 for the live feed of the conference. Got to pay for the bandwidth, of course. That's CDD conference, as in Charlie Delta Delta Conference.com. Did I get that right?
Yep, that's correct. And we're going to be making a donation to Normal, too, for hooking this up with access and putting it on the website for us as well.
Okay. And we'll put that link up on our blog at stash.normal.org so that people can find that website, want to direct them to that live feed and help to raise you guys some money. That'll be really cool. Candace Hawes with OC Normal, what else do you got going on? I know this is, you know, we're already in January. It's your first event. But, you know, as springtime and summertime, 420 and all that rolls around, I know you guys are very, very active. What are some of your plans for 2011?
Yeah, summer is definitely the most busy time for us. We're lucky to be in an area where a lot of people come from across the country to vacation. So during the summer, we have an event probably every week or every other weekend. We have rallies, and that's one of the things that we're going to plan at. We have a meeting tonight. We're going to plan our summer rallies of 2011. The end of our rally is always is at the U.S. Surf Open, and that's the biggest rally that we have. The Surf Open attracts about 500,000 people in the 3 days that it's open, the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And years previous, or like 4 years ago, we were allowed to participate in it, and we paid our $2,000, and we had a booth with everyone else, and everything was fine. And then 4 years ago, the director decided that we weren't a family-friendly kind of organization, and so they banned us from being able to be on the stand and have a booth. So now every year, we have a rally right in front of the boardwalk, on the street, so everyone can see us. We're like main stage, and we don't even have to pay for it because we're in a public area. So And we get a lot of attention when we have that rally. So we're just going to get ready for our summer event.
Yeah. It's so amazing to me, these organizations that want to ban you from having a booth there because it's not so family friendly, don't realize they've just kind of shot themselves in the foot. Like you say, you don't have to pay, and you're probably getting a lot more eyeballs, a lot more people coming by and visiting you out there in front with more of a spectacle than you would have in the booth.
Yeah, it really is ridiculous because they had huge, two-story high blow-up beer bottles on the sand, and, you know, it's ridiculous they don't let us participate, and you're right, we get the best spot anyways, you know, we don't have to pay, and we have a newsworthy event for the media to come and cover.
Yeah, well, what fun is that? So, Candace, I know your story, but I always like to take this time during, you know, when we talk to normal activists about how people got involved in marijuana law reform. You know, a lot of myself, I've always gone through, you know, I've just been a pot smoker and been interested in it from a, you know, statistical point of view, from a civil justice point of view, but I have never had any, you know, troubles with the law or anything that galvanized me to do this other than a drug test for a job. What brought you to marijuana law reform?
Yeah, a lot of people tell patient stories. You know, they had a family member that needed it. But in my case, I was directly affected. I was a student. I was going to school, and I came in contact with some police officers on a vacation, and I happened to have just a little bit too much marijuana on me for Nevada, which is over an ounce, and I was going to have to go to jail. And when the police officers found out that I was a student, they thought it was hilarious, and they, like, made a point of it and made me feel horrible telling me that I was going to now lose my student aid. They thought this was, you know, a great thing, you know, another punishment that I was going to, you know, possibly not be able to pursue the career that I wanted, that this drug charge was going to put me in jail, they were going to tow my car, and I was going to lose my student aid. So the minute I got out, you know, I just thought that was so wrong, that they're like, we're going to get you three different ways, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think that was right, and the only thing you can really do is fight back. So I got on the internet, and right away Normal responded to me, invited me to conferences, and I just put the word out there, and it's amazing how many people respond. I got tons and tons of emails right away, people that wanted to come to meetings to get involved. And that's why we're still a chapter today, is because so many people want to be involved, you know, and I'm still fighting, you know, for the things that aren't right. You know, the cops shouldn't think that it's cool that, you know, you're going to get punished more than one way and it's going to ruin your life, you know. And I don't think that it's right that people are losing their financial aid for drugs, for drug charges, when they don't lose them for violent charges, for rape, things like that. You know, it's not fair, and so you have to fight back.
Absolutely, you have to fight back. And for people out there listening who are thinking about getting involved with Normal or starting a Normal chapter, you started one from the ground up, you know, day one. What advice would you give to them?
I would say, if you're thinking about it and you're not sure, just do it. Just try. You know, just put that email out for your local state chapter and see the people in your area that are, you know, that respond, and meet with those people and just sort of pool your resources. I think that working with Normal has probably been the best experience of my whole life, and just don't hesitate and see how you can get involved.
All right. Well, Candace Hawes, Executive Director of Orange County Normal. How can people get involved with OC Normal? What's your website?
It's orangecountynormal.org or 1-877-OC-NORMAL.
1-877-OC-NORMAL. Gotta love the vanity 877 number. Thank you so much, Candace, and we'll see you, I'm sure, not too long from today at some event somewhere.
Yeah, I can't wait. You guys have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Candace. Hey, folks, that's it for today's show. We're going to be here for hour two in Toker Talk Radio. We'll take your calls. We'll take it into the weekend. Anything you'd like to talk about, we can make bets about the Super Bowl if you like. Coming up on next week's Normal Show Live, all sorts of great stuff. Of course, on Wednesday, we'll have Dr. Mitch Earlywine joining us for our regular cannabis science segment. On Thursday, we'll be visited by a member of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition talking about why cops say legalized drugs. And then on Friday, it'll be the fourth Friday of the month, Danny Danko from High Times Magazine, the senior cultivation editor. He'll be joining us answering your live cultivation questions through chat or from live call-in at our number here at 971-533-7111. On Monday and Tuesday, we will have various Normal activists on the show. We just got to finish up all the bookings. There's so many bills being put into legislatures right now. We got the Idaho bill. We got to get the Idaho Normal people on. There's an Illinois bill. There's some Connecticut bills coming up, Vermont, I believe. We got all sorts of bookings we got to make. And as these bills keep coming out, we'll be bringing you all the lawmakers, the activists, everyone who's involved in the process of actually changing marijuana laws in the area where you live. If you'd like to get involved, please join Normal and we'll help you. All you got to do is send me an email at stash@normal.org. If you'd like instructions and sample documents to get involved in starting your chapter, send an email to start@normal.org. It's pretty easy. You just got to have yourself and four other people who form a nonprofit organization. You become the board, you apply for affiliation with Normal, and then you set about coming up with your plan on how you're going to change marijuana laws. We're pretty hands-off. We allow you to come up with whatever plan works best for you. We understand that politics are different in different parts of the United States. What works in Oregon may not work in some place like Arkansas. That's why the Normal local chapters are so effective. You're on the boots on the ground there. You can make the decisions that'll work best in your local area. Get involved. Normal.org. Send me an email. stash@normal.org. All right, folks, for Cannabis Carry and Ganja John, I'm Radical Russ for the Normal Foundation, saying thanks for joining us this week. We'll see you next week, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers, and go pack, go! We love the earth.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it all one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you